Good evening, everyone. Pleasure to be here again. Although I'm not quite sure what is the topic tonight, what are the words? I really have a hard time preparing for Dharma talks. I don't try very hard, but it's not easy. While I was sitting, a lot of things were coming up, and I remembered that yesterday I walked across the Luxembourg Garden in Paris. My absolute favorite garden in the city. Probably my favorite garden in the country, in France, and maybe even in the world, I don't know. I love the Luxembourg Garden. And I hadn't been there for a long time, but I had happened to be in the neighborhood and I had some time and there was somewhere I wanted to go that was on the other side. So instead of taking the streets, I crossed the garden. And there were a lot of students. There's always a lot of students. It was around lunchtime. And it's in the neighborhood where there is the Sorbonne and many other schools. So at lunchtime, there's always lots of students. And it was Wednesday, so there were some, and in France, there is no school for small children on Wednesday. So there were some small children, a lot of children having tennis class on the tennis courts, and a few tourists. And as I walked past the big fountain, I passed two people, a couple, and the woman as I was crossing was looking in the other direction behind me. And she said, "Oh, it's so big," in English. And I really don't know what she was talking about. I kind of turned around to see what she was looking at. And I don't know what she was looking at. And it really mystified me. What does she think is so big? And because when I looked around, I couldn't see anything that I would think of as being so big. From where she was standing, I don't know if she was talking about the garden itself. And the Luxembourg Garden, it's not small, but you wouldn't really say it's so big. It's not like some of the other parks in Paris, which are very big. And this really stayed with me of how our evaluations of things are so much our own and have nothing to do actually with the reality of what is. So she was saying it's so big. I don't know what she was talking about. I couldn't find anything that I thought was so big. My opinion, her opinion. And yet the garden was just the garden. Other people maybe don't like that garden. They maybe have bad memories or they don't like that there's all the students there, or they think it's too small, or whatever reasons. And I have my reasons for loving it. when I, the first summer that I spent in Paris when I was 20 years old, a student, I lived in that neighborhood. And so I walked through that garden all the time. So of course I have these associations with it, which the woman who was walking and said, it's so big. She is thinking of something, I don't know what, but in terms of her own scale. And suddenly I'm remembering, so I lived in that neighborhood. And I actually lived, and this, I don't know if I told Debbie this, but I actually lived in a student residence, which is where Debbie and I went to see Dale's concert recently. His concert was in the chapel, but it's attached to what used to be a student residence and has now been converted into a center where there's lots of conferences and things. It's called Le Forum 104. And the address is 104, 104. And so when I lived there, you know, it was called La Réunion des Étudiants, and the meeting place of students, and it was there. So every time I go there, and I've been there occasionally for conferences, practices, when Genpo Roshi was in Paris once, he did his workshop there. Bernie Glassman did a workshop there. So every time I would go there, it was very strange for me because I used to live there, but it looked completely different when I lived there. And when we went to Dale's concert, I never went in the chapel. I knew it was there and I could hear the bells of the chapel that rang every, you know, like chapels do, every quarter of an hour, and then every on the hour it would ring the hour. And so when I lived there, I was aware of the bells and I was aware of the chapel. But it was a completely different context. And yet I have my associations with that place that Debbie doesn't have or Dale doesn't have. And they have other associations, you know. We all bring our experience to the moment, right? So how do we then experience the moment and what is just as it is? If we have all of this stuff that we're carrying with us, you know, like we're carrying this bag of associations and opinions and ideas and memories and whatever. And I thought of, I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe, when Anna told us the story about meeting the guy in the street who asked if she had work. Remember that? Was that 2 weeks ago? Or I don't know. It was a few weeks ago, anyway. And I thought I had mentioned this quote that I had heard about fixing and helping and serving, because it was this idea of helping. Because Anna said to the guy, I'm sorry, I can't help. I can't help you or something. And the guy was very offended by that, saying, I'm not asking for your help. I'm asking for work, right, Anna? Is that, that's the story? Yeah. So for those of you who, I don't know if everyone was there when that discussion arose, but so I found the quote that I had been meaning to, that I looked for that night. And it's from a woman who's called Rachel Remen, who's a, you know, Buddhist practitioner and a therapist, I think, or something. So she says, when you help, You see life as weak. When you fix, you see life as broken. And when you serve, you see life as whole. The wholeness in us serves the wholeness in the other and the wholeness in life. So I'm not saying when Anna said to the guy, I'm sorry, I can't help you. It's like a turn of phrase. It's something that we say. I doubt that Anna was actually thinking, this guy is weak and I'm strong, so I'm going to help him, you know. And however, if we can look at our, you know, when we use those terms, when we say that, can we see that helping involves you being strong and having something, having a position, having resources that the other doesn't, the other is weak, the other is less. I'm not saying we consciously think of this, but this is a way of looking at how we meet the moment, right? In her terminology, when we help, we're coming to the moment from a position of, I know, I'm sure. No, it would be like me saying, oh, well, no, the Luxembourg Garden, whatever she's saying is big, is not, she's wrong, it's not big. I would be holding to my view, let's say. When you fix, you see life as broken. Obviously, if you're going to fix something, it's because it's broken, right? That's pretty clear. So, you know, if we say I have friends whose relationship is not working, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix, you're unhappy about something, I'm going to fix that. It's just obvious when you say I'm fixing, it's because it's broken. And we have an expression in English that's, you know, why fix something that's not broken? Because often we try to like tinker and intervene with things when they're not really broken. And when you serve, you see life as whole. So how does that work? And as she adds, the wholeness in us serves the wholeness in the other and the wholeness in life. So if we see that we are whole, we're not missing anything, we're not lacking anything, nothing needs to be fixed. And we see the other as that as well, we serve them with whatever needs to be done, whatever the situation calls for. And how that looks is always different. So if I come to, you know, the Luxembourg Garden and I think I know exactly how it is and someone else has another view of it, I can serve the moment, serve the other, serve myself by letting go of my ideas and my attachments and opinions about the Luxembourg Garden and just seeing it as it is, which I actually did so I was about halfway across when I heard her say that. And it wasn't like I was looking to see if it was big, but it opened my vision. And I was seeing the garden like new almost. Even things that I know really well, like there's a little building where there's puppet shows where I used to take my children, and a park, a little playground near there. And it looked really different. And I thought, did they move it? But they didn't. I mean, that building has been there for probably 70 years or 100 years. and they didn't, the building looked exactly the same. There was a like a cafe area that I thought, that's funny. I didn't remember that being there, but it was there. I'm sure it was there before. But because I had like stepped back and was looking anew, it looked different. It was new. And it was as if the wholeness could be seen because I was whole. I didn't have this piece of me that was breaking apart from the rest of me that was saying, this is how it should be. It was, oh, this, just this. So how do we, what does that mean for us in our life and in our relationships and in our movement in the world? You know, it's like in our study group on Saturday, in the text, that Thich Nhat Hanh cites this verse that is sometimes cited before bowing, in which he says, the one who bows and the one who is bowed to are both by nature empty. Therefore, the communication between us is inexpressibly perfect. This is so beautiful. This is it. This is the one who bows and the one who is bowed to by nature are empty, but by nature are whole. Whole is another word for empty or full. Whole, full. And therefore the communication is perfect. It's only imperfect if we are hanging on to our words, our position, our way of being or doing. I probably enjoyed the Luxembourg Garden, the second half of my walk, in a much fuller way than the first half, because the first half I was like, oh, I'm in the Luxembourg Garden. I haven't been here for so long. I love this garden so much. You know, and thinking about past moments in the garden and friends I had been there with and expecting to see boats on the fountain. Well, it's too cold. There were no boats, no little kids sailing. They sail these little wooden boats in the fountain, and there weren't because it was cold. Or expecting to see certain flowers or, I don't know. And after the woman said, oh, it's so big, that was like a wake-up call. I turned around to see what was big. I couldn't see anything. And then suddenly, boom, everything was open. What's big? I started looking around. What's big? Yeah, so things as they are, or as Thich Nhat Hanh said, you know, this is because, no, that is because this is, or that is, this is because that is. Can we really see just this? It's so big. So that's what came up for me when I was in my sitting. And I think that I can't prepare for my Dharma talks because it can't be prepared. it's really a response to the moment. And so I see you sitting here, and this is what comes up in response. So I would like to hear what comes up for you in response. Freddie?
Hello, everyone. Of course, Jardin du Luxembourg, it's a place, whenever you go to a place, you have sometimes memories with it. Sometimes different memories. Why I love the Jardin du Luxembourg is because I had a friend that I knew in the Sangha, and we used to go there to play chess, because there's a chess table over there. And so I have another memory, but I moved a lot, and sometimes when you go back, you think you know the place, but the place is different. A lot of things are the same, but the people are different. There's new things in it, new people, new energy. It's like a stream of water, ever new, always new. The same place, but no, it's not. It's a new place. Even if you've been there for years, every day in the same street, walking the same street, whenever I go back to Paris where I used to live, it's the same street, but it's totally different. These cities are alive. Places are alive. They are living spaces, and we just pass by. Sometimes more often, but it's never the same place.
Yeah. Never the same place, never the same moment, never the same person. Everything changing. Impermanence. Yeah. Marlene?
You need to unmute, Marlene.
Now you hear? Thank you. Yeah, it's about a place, memories, and impermanence too. And it's something that happened, I don't know, 1 year ago. I remember when this pandemic began. I didn't went to Lisbon for 1 year at least. And in 2020, I think. And it was the summer holidays, the summer. And I decided, I don't know, there are circumstances I am not aware now. Well, I went to, after a long period without being in Lisbon, I went there, and Joana, my daughter, she lives in my house with me. We lived together for, now she stays there, and I came to this center in Portugal, Aveiazere, and I lived here. Well, and I remember I went to Lisbon and something was arranged with a friend of mine to go to her place, to her house that is in the, near the beach in Sintra. And so when I arrived in Lisbon, I managed to pass through my the La Route, how do you call it?
The road?
The road where my home stays. It's a third floor. And I looked at him very slowly and I went to Ethel's house. I stayed in the beach. Yeah. And when I came back after, I don't know, 5 days in Ethel's place, I did want to come back and I managed to return here. And before I entered the water route, I passed this, my home, the same road. And I knew Joanna wasn't there. If no, I would be with Joanna too, but she wasn't there. And I looked also, this time also, to the third floor very slowly as I drive. Very slowly, and it was a very strange experience because it's almost this me that is really, I used to live in this house for 35 years at least, and it was something really different because it's like the house is empty. Nothing is possible. There is a loss inside. Nothing is possible anymore. And it was very, very heavy and at the same time very liberating because, well, it's the pandemic. I could get out of the car and go to my place, but is it my place? It's another house, you know? It's something new, very new. Oh, it's my house. Oh, I'm not there. Oh, I'm not there for so long. Oh, I remember when I was going till the end of the road and something really collapsed inside me. I start, but really crying very, very out loud. It was really different. It was like a chaotic world happened there. What is happening here? See, what is happening here? Nobody is there, nobody's inside. I didn't go there. Is it my house? Is it me? It was really, everything was so, so different and so impermanent at the same time. And it was very liberating too, because it was a mix of those things. And it was, yeah, the memories I had from my house, something new appeared for the first time, you know, and it was this place. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and this. It's metaphorically we say in our practice that we take a step back so that we can see. And that's kind of what, in an example, in an experience like Marlene is, you know, that the time of being away and so far away and such a different circumstance and life situation, and it's like taking a step back and seeing something completely different. In a different way. I think any of us who, I mean, there's 1, 2, 3 of us who are living not in our native lands on this, and we then see our homeland in a very different way when you go away. It's like that. You leave and then you come back and see your house in a completely different way. And it's interesting that you say that there was this these tears of sadness, but at the same time, liberation. You know, interesting.
Hello, everybody. It's funny, Roshi, that you should be using the Luxembourg Gardens, because I lived in the Montparnasse, the 14th, and used to come up. I was there like two or three times a week for several years with a friend of mine, and we always pretended that we owned the Luxembourg Gardens. I would sit in one of those wonderful chairs. And this was our garden, and so we were allowing these people to kind of use our place. So while you're talking, I was in my Luxembourg Gardens. I also have a friend right now who goes there several times a week. She's directly on the Arial Bay, and she can leave her house in Saint-Denis and be in the Latin Quarter in like 7 minutes or something. And she talks about it a lot too. So there are three Luxembourg Gardens. There's mine. There's yours, and there's Sabrina's Luxembourg Gardens. And I don't know if I have anything more to say than that, but yeah.
Yeah, there's as many Luxembourg Gardens as there are moments and people, and absolutely true. Absolutely amazing, huh?
And what happens when all of those, when we come together with those? I don't know, we can see it in Sesshin when we come together with our different experiences of our practice and everything else. There's a Jahan d'entente. There is a place where we can share our experience and still be aware that it's, or I don't know, we're just, I don't know how to say this, but we're sharing just the part that can be spoken. After that, there's all the other stuff that's backed up behind those words.
Yeah. And then that reminds me of the Rumi poem that we mentioned in the study group, because last week here, when Sue told about her friends who were leaving, and that they had become very angry and bitter and against everything, and that they had given her a heart with their phone numbers on it. And Joa said, "That's where you meet." And I thought of the poem from Rumi, which is, out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. It goes on, but that's where we meet. Beyond my way or your way, or wrongdoing or right doing, or my garden or your garden. Out beyond those ideas, there's a field. I'll meet you there. There's a Luxembourg garden, and I'll meet you there. And it's true, in retreat we have that experience, because we're all coming from all over the place in our heads, in our lives, geographically, and we come together and we're joined in this. That's what the word Sesshin in Japanese means, a gathering of the heart, actually. And we come together around that. Otherwise, why would we do it? You know, why would we all go sit there, do nothing for 7 hours a day, eat food that we don't really want to eat in a way that we don't really want to eat, not sleep very much? Why would we do that? Not talk? You know, that's a hard one for the Portuguese, but not talk, not very much coffee. Why would we do there? Because we come to that field. We come to that field beyond, out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing. And it kind of then has the culmination of that is when we do a circle. And we share, we meet in the heart. Speaking from the heart, hearing with the heart. Not with, oh, the circle should be this way, or, you know, it's like Marlene looking and saying, oh, that's my house, but... So it's not like looking at someone and saying, oh, that's not how they should talk, or that's not what they're supposed to say. No, it's just whatever they say is perfect. The communication is perfect when the one bowing and the one receiving, or the one speaking and the one receiving, are connecting with their empty nature, their wholeness. So yeah, that's where we meet, which is right here. And we don't know where that will be or what it will look like. Who knew 2 years ago that it was going to be like this? No way, no way. Tomorrow I'm leaving and going to a retreat. I have no idea what it will be like. I've been there before to the place, but I have no idea. But I know we're all going there to meet in that field out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing. Otherwise, we wouldn't last 24 hours. We used to say that when I lived in the house in Donna. Frank and I, we agreed. No way would we live there, all of us together, if we didn't have this practice that we were sharing. No way. Well, because so many things were complicated and irritating and annoying and, you know, jealousies and rivalries and, you know, the boys never cleaned the toilet seat and, you know, someone never bought the toilet paper when they were supposed to, or somebody used the end of the olive oil and didn't replace it, or, you know, just, or made too much noise and woke up my kids, or, you know, whatever. But we were there because we were meeting in that field, out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing.
This morning I had a perfect wish fulfillment dream about your sesshin, which I can't go to. It was in a country environment with barns and farm animals and stuff, and we were walking a little bit a more countrified version of where we were last summer. And we were walking down a path, and you all, everybody was there, and I was there. That was the wish fulfillment part, and. That was number one wish fulfillment. Number two, Lisa came up and said, oh, we've rented the car so that you can go do the shopping. Here's the key. And I thought, oh, this is going to be fabulous. One, because right now I can't drive because of my sight. So it really was, oh, I'm going to be driving again. And also I have a car so I can buzz around. So I don't know if you are going to have a good time, but I had a great time with you last about 4 o'clock this morning.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Whoops. what happened.
You're still there for us.
I can see.
She maybe froze. You froze there for a little minute, but I think it's okay.
Good evening, everyone. There was a beautiful experience this morning, and a lot of things that were said. It's interesting because they keep pointing at that in some way or the other. We had our guitar dharma circle this morning. It's Thursday mornings. Sometimes we have kind of a homework to do, sometimes not, and today not so much, but still. So the question was, how was the previous week? How was the previous week musically for each one of us? That was the question. It's not called a guitar dharma circle for just because. It's really an experience, and today it was really, that feeling was really present for me, how each person brings, you know, whatever, whatever someone even might say. I think today someone said there was not a lot of musical experience for me this week, and it's okay. There was really for me this feeling of sharing. There's no right and there's no wrong. And we all come from very different, very, very different places in our musical experience. Some of us have played more, some of us have played less, some of us have been focused for many years on certain kind of things, and other people have been focused on different kinds of things. And there was this space, there was this openness. Today it was really present for me. Everything has, everything, no matter what, has its place, has a place there. It's exactly like when we do a Dharma circle, exactly. You're not supposed to bring that up, you're not supposed to bring some experience, some way you have about what your musical experience has been. It's there's a place for whatever comes. It's really beautiful. Thanks.
Thank you. Maybe even so there is place for whatever comes, and maybe whatever comes is the place, in fact, as well. Right?
Thich Nhat Hanh said, life is a walk, and the purpose of the walk is the walk itself. You don't have to go somewhere, and, just to enjoy the moment, enjoy the walk, and if we can enjoy it, then we want to stay in it, so we have to enjoy every moment. And, it's a pleasure to be with people, to stay with people, to listen to everyone. It's fantastic because everyone has something precious to share, really precious.
Absolutely.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Yes, today it is the birthday from my neighbor. I opened the door this morning and I say happy birthday, and you can choose what we can do today, and we can do. It was my present for and we went both to lunch by the sea, seeing the water, and it was everything very quiet and beautiful, very special, and it was a present for me, for her. It was a beautiful moment, and I think it's a place where we go many times, but today it was another time. It was another image, another feeling, and perhaps it's every day when we go there, it's another feeling, but I think this day stay in our memory. Thank you.
Yeah. And it's true that we do have memories, and we do have sometimes we prefer one moment over another. There's no problem with that. That's not the problem is when we become attached to that memory. And that keeps us from experiencing fully the next moment. Or if we're hanging on to some emotion, then we're not fully open to whatever else arises. Someone said that when we have whatever feelings there may be, past, present, or future, he was saying how in his meditation, he reminds himself, whatever feelings there might be, all feeling is not mine, not I, not myself. And that keeps him from getting attached to it. He was referring to living with chronic pain, actually. And so the feeling of pain when he's sitting, and sometimes it's unbearable, the pain. Chronic pain or kind of, yeah, I think it's pain, but it's related to some kind of illness, I think. But he said it really helps him to remind himself, whatever feeling it is, it's not mine. It's not I, it's not myself. And it makes it so much lighter. He's not stuck to it, identified with it. And he's not denying that there is pain. Or not denying that it's a wonderful moment. Or my last time here was perfect. Just not mine, not I, not myself. Which is a way of opening, actually. And wholeness. Once again. Meeting in Rumi's field. Yeah. And you are Rumi's field, actually. Okay, I guess we're about out of time here. I am told that next Thursday night, is it Tuesday night or Thursday? I don't know what's going on next week. Does anyone know?
So I'm kind of unclear. I'm and rather worried about the evenings. On Tuesday, I'm not sure. On Thursday, I'm not even sure, and I could have seen this before, because if there is no Dharma talk, because both you and Sensei won't be available, if someone was willing to open the session, I don't know, to sit for, I don't know.
We can also not do Tuesday and Thursday nights if people... No one has really volunteered or anything. That's fine. I think the mornings are maintained, right? Someone is opening the mornings.
Yeah, I'll do the morning, and I would love anybody who's not at the session and who's got the time and wants to come.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll send out an email tomorrow about it.
And also, can I reiterate my request that if there's any kind of party ceremony that you can put on Zoom and tell us about, it'd be fun for us to be able to participate in that way and have a wonderful time.
Yes. Yeah, still don't know what is happening at the end, but we will definitely let you know if there is a Zoom link. Okay. Thank you, everyone.